This is a GRDC podcast.
Hi there, I'm Hilary Sims. If you've grown lentils or faba beans, chances are you've kept on top of ascochyta blight and botrytis diseases with the help of carbendazim. It's a broad-spectrum fungicide used to control a range of diseases on pulses. But as a Schedule 7 chemical with restrictions on its use, there's growing uncertainty about carbendazim maximum residue limits in some international markets. Agriculture Victoria's Dr. Joshua Fanning is leading a research team in this space, looking at effective alternative chemical options and the associated economics. And there's good news. We'll speak with him shortly. But first, here is GRDC's Chemical Regulation Manager, Gordon Cumming, to explain the current situation on carbendazim use. Here's Gordon.
Growers are very used to using the product and it fits into their disease management programs. However, there's been some movement in the international marketplace with some of the registrations around that product, and that has some potential flow-on impacts with regards to some of the market access or potential post-farm gate risks. And there's just generally quite a bit of confusion around the use of the product, what it can be used for, what it can't be used for. So we're just trying to get a very clear and succinct message for growers and also for the trade post-farm gate as to what they can be doing and what they really should not be doing with the product.
Gordon, what does the label say on how this chemical should be used?
The current label claims or use patterns are for that foliar fungicide disease management strategies in lentils and faba beans, and that's really where it needs to stay. I mean, the label is a legal document. We can only use products in the way that the label allows. So whilst there may be a bit of bush telegraph going on around other alternative uses for the product, they are clearly off-label, illegal, will result in detectable residues in other grain commodities, which will significantly put our exports of those commodities at risk.
And on exports and the international market now, the EU has recently reviewed carbendazim. Tell us about that.
We're expecting them to finalise their decision very early next year, and in all likelihood, that will be to see the product deregistered and all the MRLs removed from the EU countries. And also, it's going before Codex, which is sort of an international standard of MRLs, middle of this year. And again, our expectation is it will be removed from Codex. So it just really puts the spotlight on the use of it in Australia. It's still quite legal to use it in Australia for its registered use patterns, but the window internationally is closing or becoming a lot more restricted. So people start looking at various things in the post-farm gate when this happens.
So in light of these developments, what considerations should pulse growers be making if they're planning to use carbendazim in their program this year?
I think it's always a good idea when this sort of thing is happening that if growers have one or two marketers that they traditionally sell their pulse crops to, have a chat to them, see what their take is about the risk and whether or not they'd rather the products not to be used. And maybe as a longer term strategy, start thinking about fungicide programs which aren't reliant on carbendazim. So whilst it's there this year, next year, the year after, who knows? So there's a lot of good research being done by the state pathology programs with GRDC investment, looking at alternative programs. There's a lot of knowledge there. So start digging that out and having a look at it and discussing with your advisors and your agronomists about alternative programs that you may need to consider going forward.
As Gordon just mentioned, there's significant research underway to provide growers with alternative chemical programs. Dr. Joshua Fanning is Research Leader Plant Pathology at Agriculture Victoria, and he joins me now to share information on these alternative options and the economics of including them in an integrated disease management strategy. As Joshua explains, the research has a national focus.
The national investment that we've got underway is looking at optimising integrated disease management strategies on ascochyta blight and botrytis in lentils and faba beans. So when we're talking about botrytis, we're talking about botrytis grey mould of lentil and chocolate spot of faba beans, and then we're looking at ascochyta blight in both lentils and faba beans.
And Joshua, you're leading this project through Agriculture Victoria with GRDC investment. Who else is involved?
We're running across South Australia, Victoria and New South Wales. So in South Australia, we've got the South Australian Research and Development Institute. We've also got Trengrove Consulting working on the York Peninsula. We've got the University of Adelaide in statistical support. Then in Victoria, we've got Agriculture Victoria, as well as Field Applied Research Australia. And then in New South Wales, we've got New South Wales Department of Primary Industries. So we're really covering off on the three states and those three major production areas for lentils and faba beans.
So what alternatives are there to carbendazim?
We've actually got quite a few. If you asked me a few years ago, we had a lot less products available to us. I sort of classify them into three groups. We've got our multi-site fungicides, and they include mancozeb, metram, chlorothalonil. So they're preventative fungicides. And at the moment, they're probably less effective than some of our single active chemistries or our dual active chemistries. So our single active chemistries include carbendazim and prasimidone that are both registered. So carbendazim's group one and prasimidone's group two. Prasimidone's currently on permit for beans at the moment, but the GRDC are looking at doing some work around that to get it back on label. And then we've got our dual site fungicides. So we've got azoxystrobin plus tebiconazole, which is group 11 and 3. We've got azoxystrobin plus cyproconazole, group 11 and 3 also. And then we've got bixafen plus prothioconazole, which is Aviator Expro, groups 3 and 7. And flutinoxal and pitoflumetrifen, which is Morava Star, groups 12 and 7. And they're all available on the APVMA website or manufacturer's website.
And the economics behind these alternative chemistries is also a focus of the research. What's been done so far?
So part of our research is looking at the economics. Each of these products is priced at a different price point, depending on its efficacy, how hard it is to manufacture, and how much it costs to develop that product while it's on patent. So we're looking at, if you apply these products, the different efficacies and timings, what are the economics behind those decisions? And we're doing that with these collaborators across seasons and across environments, so we get a much better appreciation of how we can use these products to best manage the disease. And not just to maximise grain yield, but it's also about maximising that profitability. So that's why we're overlaying that economics on that as well.
And when will this information be made available?
So the economics, we're looking at publishing soon, and that will come out in GRDC updates over the next several years. The first year of the project was last year, and in good news for growers, we didn't really have disease as a significant concern last year due to the lack of spring rainfall, essentially.
Well, we know fungicide is just one aspect of an integrated disease management strategy. What are some of the other factors we should consider?
Fungicides should be our last option for disease management. Yes, it's disappointing if we're told we can't use a product, whatever product that may be, but ultimately a holistic or integrated disease management approach is the best way of controlling diseases and maximising profitability. So what does that mean in real terms? Essentially, we start with a clean paddock or sowing clean seed. So we've got our crop rotations to start off with. We're looking at a 1 in 3, 1 in 4 year break, preferably depending on your environment. We're not sowing lentils, wheat, lentils and having disease in our lentils or doing lentil, lentil, wheat. So if you start the season with clean seed, then we're not putting disease into that paddock from the start because we've obviously rotated our crops. So we haven't got the stubble. These diseases carry over in stubble, then we're choosing resistant varieties. So we're avoiding our super susceptible varieties. Even a moderately susceptible variety is better than a susceptible variety. So choosing the best resistance we can, and then tailoring our disease management package to the variety that we're growing. So people like to push the boundaries by growing crops closer together between seasons or close together in paddocks next to each other. We're going to get away with it in a drier season, but by growing a more resistant variety, that lowers our risk as well. It also means we're buying ourselves time in the season. If we see disease, we've got a little bit more time before we have to get something out to control it, as well as just right from the word go, you know you're going to have less issues with disease right through the season by growing that more resistant variety. Next part of it is monitoring for disease and understanding your environmental risk throughout the season. So we're going to look after our rainfall events for disease. We're then going to be monitoring how much disease we're getting and monitoring that environmental conditions. And then last of all, we should be thinking about our fungicide strategy. We should be rotating between our actives. We should also be using mixtures of fungicides, staying within our label rates, and following that good fungicide management practice, essentially. So we're not using the same fungicide over and over again. We're rotating through them and only using them when we're required to. So on resistant varieties, you're obviously going to need them less, the more we apply these fungicides, the more selection pressure we put on our pathogen, which then ultimately can lead to fungicide resistance, which is why we're trying to avoid that as well.
Definitely some good reminders there. So Joshua, to finish up, what's your takeaway message to pulse growers?
If you're told not to use a product by your grain marketer, essentially we have got a range of other products available to us. If you look at other countries, they're losing products all the time and we adapt. Our growers are no different to those. Our industry is very, very adaptive. We've got a range of other products available to us. And if we go back to those integrated disease management strategies, we're not just relying on fungicides, we're relying on all these other mechanisms for disease control. And that's going to put us in good standing moving forward and hopefully growing economically viable and highly profitable crops.
Joshua, thanks for speaking to us today.
Thank you, Hilary.
That was research leader, plant pathology at Agriculture Victoria, Dr. Joshua Fanning. And before him was GRDC's chemical regulation manager, Gordon Cumming. More information on this topic can be found in the description box of this podcast or online at grdc.com.au. I'm Hilary Sims, and you've been listening to a GRDC podcast.